Be dismissed to your classes this morning. And the rest of us are privileged this morning to be blessed with the sage wisdom from old Brother Raymond, who also cannot be in the young people.
Good morning, church.
Good morning, Raymond.
Good morning. Can you say to your neighbor, the Lord does not want you to stay where you are?
The Lord does not want you to stay where you are.
Okay. Okay, no, don't. That doesn't mean leave, no. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, we give you thanks and we give you praise for this morning. We give you thanks, Father God, for this very time. And we ask right now, mighty Lord God, that you will bless, Father God, my ability to convey the word that you've placed within my heart. This I ask in your name. Amen. Amen. Psalms 40. Can you turn there, please? If we can get that scripture on the screens as well, that would be great. And if we can just have verse 2. If you've got it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Psalms 40. It says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. There's another scripture. We don't need to turn there, but it's Psalm 69. It says, rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. When I turned 40, I had a bit of a meltdown. I don't know if anybody can remember this. Okay, Jared, I deserve this. dear, but I did. I had a little bit of a breakdown. It was a milestone that I was not ready to pass. So what did I do? I managed to encourage some brothers, some of which are here in the house today, to come with me to help me prove that I was still a young man, that I was still able to do the things that I could do as a 30-year-old, as a 20-year-old. Can we get the first picture up, please? We decided to go and do it. This was called the Nuts Challenge. There was a few of us, and we had to go through various different obstacles. And as you can see right at the very bottom, there was somebody there stuck in the mud and the mire. Stuck. But we overcame, didn't we, men? Who's hit? Who went? Who? Jared did. Is Andre?
There's Andre. Can we have the?
Oh, Michael at the back there. Can we have the next picture, please? There's all the men.
That was us at the end of the challenge. As you can see, our clothes were
filthy.
Everything that you see there that I was wearing, I had to throw away. I had to completely bid it. Yep, that was us. Yay, victorious. We overcame.
All right, we can hold it there. The mud and the mire, which is mentioned in verse in Psalms 40, it's talking about a time which is quite difficult. It's talking about a time of struggle. It's talking about us feeling like we're not getting anywhere. We're exhausted through exertion of effort and not seeing the reward. The mud and the mire, it represents disappointment, maybe even wrong decisions. This could have turned out to be a very bad decision,
us going on that challenge, but
it worked out well. We had a great time. But that mud and the mire, if we can go back to the scripture, Psalms 40, it talks about wrongful treatment, things that we experience. The mud and the mire also represents sin, filthy clothes. If you were to look up the word mire in the dictionary, it talks about a stretch of swampy or boggy ground, soft mud or dirt. Uses other words such as slime, sludge, filth, ooze, muck. Other words it uses is things like bog, morass, quagmire, sump, quicksand, swampland. The dictionary meaning also talks about a complicated or unpleasant situation from which it is difficult to extricate oneself. It also talks about being stuck in the mud or involving something or someone in a difficult situation. That song that we were just singing earlier, which talks about how God reached down to us and he lifted us up. He lifted us up. That was us stuck in the mud, and he lifted us up through the fullness of his grace. He lifted us up. So yes, this scripture, it reminds me of my 40th birthday, but it also reminds me of my life pre-Christ in it. It reminds me of me before I was saved. It reminds me of me before I acknowledged who Christ was and what he had done for me. It was a time before I had accepted Christ in my heart, before me doing that 180-degree spin and repenting and running to him. It was a time before I accepted him to live and to dwell within my heart. So when I read that scripture, I praise God. I praise his mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. See, when you're stuck in the mud, your focus is very much upon your circumstances. It's when we were going through that challenge, you can't see your feet. So if you can't see your feet, you can't see where your next step is going to land. So you're quite hesitant, almost fearful. You're not too sure whether or not your next step is what's going to take you under. And so in often cases, we freeze and we don't move. We don't go anywhere. When you're in the mud and mire, you don't look your best. You definitely don't feel your best. And that often causes you not to do your best. Ephesians 2 says, "As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is at work, who is now at work in those who are disobedient." That was me. That was me. But as I said, I praise God because where I stand now, my heart is filled with joy. My heart is filled with love. I'm filled with hope because I know who God is. Excuse me, I know what it is that he's done for me. I gave my life to Christ about 18 or so years ago now. It's a long time. And across those 18 years, the devil has been trying to get me back into that same place, in the mud and in the mire. He wants me to be adorned with those filthy clothes. But I'm not putting them back on. I'm not putting them back. Say, we are not putting them back on. We are not putting them back on. Over those 18 years, I would love to say that I've never made a mistake. You know, my wife, she's not here, so she can't jump up and say it's true. But I have. I've made wrong footings. I've made bad decisions. I've slipped. I found myself stuck in different situations. And that's what I would like to talk about today. The times in which in life we can sometimes find ourselves stuck. I've got a good friend, and I was with him just the other day, and I was congratulating him because he was telling me about his new business that he's just started. I'm so proud for him. I was so happy for him. And he's a Christian. He was literally gushing because of the goodness of God, you know. And when you're around somebody like that, it causes you to reflect upon the goodness of God in your own life. And we were talking, we were laughing, and then he kind of paused for a moment and he says, "Did I ever tell you about the time when I was detained? When I was held in prison, pretty much." And I said, "I never heard of this. I never knew about this." And he says, "Yeah, this happened many years ago, and I was held for a period of about 3 months, and I was facing possible deportation." And I says, "Wow." And he goes, "It was a great time." I'm like, "What? It was a great time." He goes, "I did something that I would probably have never have done had I been somewhere else." And I was curious, what is it that you did? He said, "I wrote songs. I wrote Christian songs." And the brother broke out into song. And he started singing one of the songs that he wrote when he was in that place. I mean, bear in mind, he was married at the time. He still is married. So he was away from his wife, away from his family, away from his friends. But yet, in the place where he was able to worship. He was able to allow what was in him to come out. And as I said, he broke into song and it was lovely. And I was quite put back by just the lyrics and the words that he was singing. It really was something amazing. And then it caused us then to talk about more scripture. And, you know, we was talking about things such as, you know, "Be still and know that I am God." We was talking about laughing about the disciples who were in the boat and how Jesus was asleep on a cushion, you know. He was just going through all these different situations. And then he paused again and he says, whilst he was in there, he was supposed to come up with a certain amount of money. He needed to provide certain documentation in order to get released. And he says, over those 3 months, he was unable to do that. I think he needed some kind of an assurity of a certain amount of money, and nobody was putting up that money for him. 3 months passed, he was released, he didn't need to provide any of that money or any documentation, and he was given his right to remain. And he said that from when that happened, he knew that God was with him, he knew that God was for him, and he knew that God would never forsake him, and so therefore he would never turn his back upon God. And it was a beautiful, beautiful kind of testimony for him to share, to tell me of, because I could see where he is now, but to tell me of where he once was and where God has brought him from, that was quite something. The situation reminded me of Jeremiah. And many of you know Jeremiah was a prophet, and he went through quite a few ordeals. If you were to read through chapters 36 all the way through to 40, you will read about things where Jeremiah... Sorry, I want to... One of the songs that we were singing came to my mind while we was... it will help me explain this better. The song was, He was saying how it's your breath which is in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. The reason why that came, why that kind of jumped out of me with regards to this message is because God wanted nothing more for the people of Israel to know who he was. And that was Jeremiah's, that was what Jeremiah was tasked with, to spread the word, to get people to turn from their wicked ways, to repent and to run back to God. All God wanted was for his children to know him. All he wanted was just for them to acknowledge that it is his breath that is within their lungs. But the people of Israel, that's not where their heads were at. That's not where they were at all. Let me go through some of the things that he experienced. There was, he was told to write on a scroll everything that the Lord had told him. That scroll ended up in front of the king at that time, and the king heard everything that was said. Also did a lot of the people, because it was read out in the temple courts, and people were filled with fear. But that king at the time, he wasn't filled with fear. He heard what was written. He heard of the impending doom that was coming should they not turn away from their sins. And he had that scroll cut up and thrown in the fire. So what did the Lord do? He spoke to Jeremiah again, told him, number two. So another scroll. Pretty much everything that was previously put on a scroll, plus more, was put on the second scroll. Once again, no change. God is getting furious with these people. He's getting so angry. He said in chapter 36, he says, perhaps when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict upon them, they will each turn from their wicked ways, and I will forgive them their wickedness and their sin. That's all the Lord wants to do. He wants to be able to forgive the people of their sins so that he could embrace them, so that he could love them. The story goes on through the chapters where Jeremiah finds himself in a difficult situation. He was doing absolutely nothing wrong, but he found himself being wrongfully accused. As a result of that, he got imprisoned. Not only did he get imprisoned, he got beaten. But various things kept on happening. He kept on getting brought before the king at this time now. It was King Zedekiah. And I'm not going to go into who King Zedekiah was, but let's just say he lacked a little bit of backbone. he kept on inquiring of Jeremiah and asking, has the Lord got anything else to say? I mean, what else does the Lord need to say? But this king kept on coming up saying, has he got anything else that, you know, any other information from the Lord? So one of the things that was said was how if they turned themselves over to the Babylonians, to the Babylonian king, then they would be safe. They would not perish. And this is what they were being instructed to do. But they wouldn't. They wouldn't hand themselves over. They wouldn't turn back to God. In chapter 38, we come across a situation which happened to Jeremiah, where he very much found himself in the mud, literally. It says, whoever stays in... This was the message that came through Jeremiah. It says, whoever stays in this city will die by the sword, famine or plague. But whoever goes over to the Babylonians will live. They will escape with their lives. They will live. And this is what the Lord says. The city will certainly be given into the hands of the army of the king of Babylon, who will capture it. Verse 4 says, then the officials said to the king, this man should be put to death. He is discouraging the soldiers who are left in the city, as well as the people, by the things that he is saying to them. This man is not seeking the good of these people, but their ruin. Verse 5 says, he is in your hands. This is what King Zedekiah says. He says, the king can do nothing to oppose you. So they took Jeremiah, and this time they put him in the cistern of Melchijah, the king's son, which was in the courtyard of the guard. They lowered Jeremiah by ropes into the cistern. It had no water in it, only mud. And Jeremiah sank down into the mud. So here we have Jeremiah. He is doing everything that the Lord had told him to do. And he found himself sunk down in the mud. I promise you, this is going to be an encouraging. This is going to be encouraging. It's hard. We can find ourselves in muddy situations for various different reasons. This time is for Jeremiah, it's at the hands of somebody else. For my friend who was telling you that his testimony earlier, it was kind of situations out of his control. But yet God came through in both of these situations. Let me tell you what happened to Jeremiah. Let me first tell you about the king. So the king who didn't do what he was supposed to do, nor the people, he ended up being killed, exactly as it was prophesied that he would. Please don't feel sorry for this king, because he had, and if you read through the scriptures, he had ample amount of time to turn around and fix up. But what happened to Jeremiah? Jeremiah, he was not only freed by the king of Babylon, which was King Nebuchadnezzar, but he was also given a gift, he was given provisions, and he was told that he could roam and go wherever he pleased. He had complete freedom, pretty much more freedom than he had before. So as I said, we can find ourselves in difficult situations for different reasons. We can find ourselves getting stuck whilst we're at home, while we're at work. Various different situations come up. Various different times we can find ourselves stuck. Okay, who's ever played the game Stuck in the Mud? Seen a few of the younger hands. Okay. Joanna, your hand shouldn't be up. I'm joking. If my hand can go up, then Joanna's can. So when we was at school, there was a game that we used to play called Stuck in the Mud. Let me show you how the game goes. I'm going to need two people. As you've played it, Andre, can I have your assistance, please? If you come out and just stand on this side here, I'm going to need somebody else. Who can I grab? No, I'm not going to pick on Joanne. Let's go with Jared. Who else? Thank you. All right, Jared, if you'd like to stand on this side here.
Wonderful.
Okay, so the way how the game goes...
Thank you very much.
The way the game goes is that you have to try and ensure that nobody catches you. If you get caught, you are classified as stuck in the mud. Okay? So, I am free. Andre is trying to catch me. Okay? Andre, do your best. No! Okay. So now I have to take the rightful position of being stuck in the mud. This is the rightful position, according to the game, of being stuck in the mud. Okay? Now, there's kind of like a new age way of playing it, where they have to, let me just go through it. So now that I'm stuck in the mud, that isn't it for me. I can get myself freed. But the only way in which I can be freed is by the assistance of somebody else who is free. Okay? So that's the thing. The old game, or the original game, is different from the way it's now played. The original, the way in which they now play is they have to travel under your arm. The way in which we used to play it in school, they have to travel through your legs.
Yeah?
That's why I chose you.
So come on.
You need to set me free.
You're my brother in Christ. We are doing old school.
Come on. There he is. Yay. I am now free. Thank you. You guys can take your seats. Thank you.
Give him another round of applause. Thank you.
Oh, dear.
Teach you never to heckle.
Now, it's kind of unfortunate that with Christians, when we are in a difficult situation, when we are stuck in the mud, that it isn't so obvious. I mean, it would be great if every time we went through a difficult problem, we could just simply do this. And this would be like the universal language to all of our fellow brothers and sisters. Help me. I need your assistance. I need help. I need support. I need prayer. Please, somebody just walk with me through this.
Talk to me.
Give me a word, just something to help me through this time.
But that's not what we do, is it?
In often cases, we do this. How you doing? I'm fine. I'm good. Everything is great. Everything is cook and curry. I'm well. But inside, we're stuck. We're stuck. Hence the reason why we need our brothers, our sisters around us to help us get unstuck. As I was reading through the word, I came across somebody else who was doing this, and he needed help. If you can remember Moses, he was up on the mountain. There was a battle going on down below, and he was standing there like this with a staff in his hand. I don't believe he was playing stuck in the mud. In actual fact, what we found is that every time his arms started to lower, he started to lose the battle. His men started to lose the battle. So he was accompanied by an Andre and a Jared, and they assisted him. In the Bible, it was Aaron and Hur, and they realized that every time his hands went down, he was losing the battle. So what did they do? They lifted up his arms. They lifted up his arms. And when his arms were lifted up high, they were winning, and they defeated the enemy. We need one another to support each other, to help us to stand strong and stand firm. Doing this also is a winning pose as well. When we stand like this before our Father, church, we are winning. This is one of our strongest positions.
Yeah?
Worshipping God, giving him all the thanks, giving him all the praise. This is the reason why it's so important that we truly get behind all of these ministries in this house, because they cultivate us helping each other. We've got Fresh Start. We've got the women's ministries. We've got the men's ministries. And I'm so glad to hear about the youth ministry. Is Charity and Allison, have they gone through, have they? Okay. Can we just pray for that ministry? I just feel that this would, it's going to have a powerful impact upon the youth. Father God, we just give you thanks. We give you praise, Heavenly Father. We give you thanks, mighty Lord Jesus, that you have put it in the hearts of Charity and Allison and whomever else is going to be supporting them in this ministry to start it. It can be a bit daunting to start something new. But Father God, with you, all things can succeed. Father, your word says that all we need to do is commit our plans to you, and you will see that they succeed. So we give you thanks in advance, Father God, for the success of this ministry. We give you thanks, Heavenly Father, for those whose lives will be completely turned around, for those who will acknowledge who you are, and that, mighty Lord Jesus, you will then have the opportunity to reach down in the fullness of your grace and pull many of these youth out of the mud and the mire that they are currently in. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so other people's actions can cause us to get into a sticky situation. What about our own actions? What about the things that we are 100% responsible for? Wrong choices, sin, gets us stuck. There's the story of the prodigal son. And let's read it. In Luke, it says, so he went, and so this is after he decided that he's going to go off and do his own thing. I tell you, if I could share a story about how much this story speaks to me, it is so similar in so many different ways, as I'm sure many of you can attest to. But as we read through that story, it gets to the part where it says, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him to his field to feed the sheep. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, everyone say, when he came to his senses. When he came to his senses. And I truly believe that him being in a situation where he's feeding those pigs. Pigs do not generally live or hang out in clean areas. You tend to find that when you've got pigs, underneath their feet is a lot of mud, a lot of muck, a lot of mess. So there he is, this son, feeding these pigs. And he came to his senses. And what did he do? He said to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. But while he was still a long way off, this is dropping down to verse, I think it was 25. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. That's all we need do. Whenever we lose our footing, make a wrong decision, get ourselves stuck by things that we do, all we need do is repent. Just turn around and run back to the Father. Run back to the Father. And he will be there with his arms open wide. Jesus is not playing stuck in the mud either. He's ready to embrace you. James 1:21, it encourages us. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Did you hear that? The word which is planted in you. The word that is planted in you. Get yourself into any sticky situation. It is the word that is planted in you that can save you, that will save you. It goes on and it says, number 22, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Yeah, the word is in us. We find ourselves in a sticky situation. We get ourselves stuck. It's the word that is in us that will save us. But it's not a case of just knowing that the word is in you. It is doing what the word says, not merely just hearing it. Verse 25 goes on and it says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So this scripture is telling us that hearing and doing equals blessings. Part of that blessing is being restored. It's being renewed. It's being cleaned up. It's being set back on the correct path. We as a church, we are our brother's keepers. Yeah, we are responsible for one another, and helping each other through. Pastor Rick has been sharing so many different things about this transitional period that we are in, where we are crossing over the great thing that the Lord has planned for us, our new sheep shed. And I just want to read to you a part of Exodus 14, which kind of jumped out to me when I was studying this. And it says in verse 21, it says, Moses stretched out his hands. Here we go again. We find Moses once again with arms stretched out. This time he's stretching it out towards the Red Sea with his staff in his hand. And he says, he stretched out over the sea, and God, with a terrific east wind. Sorry, if you're looking for it in your Bibles, you won't find this version because I'm reading from the Message. But it says that with a terrific east wind, all night long, made the sea go back. He made the sea dry. He made the sea dry ground, and the sea water split. It goes on and it says, the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground, with the water a wall to the right and to the left. The Egyptians came after them with full pursuit, every horse and chariot and driver of the Pharaoh racing into the middle of the sea. It was now the morning watch. God looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud on the Egyptian army and threw them into panic. He clogged their wheels of their chariots. They were stuck in the mud. Amen. The Lord is able to cause those who pursue you to get stuck and to set you free. Amen. Amen. The Bible refers to us as overcomers. It says we are overcomers. Churches, we are marching forward as the Lord has created this pathway, this straight path for us to travel through. He is allowing us to walk upon dry ground. There is no mud, there is no mire in front of us. We are able to walk on dry ground. But as we travel, and we are all traveling together, do not allow for spiritual dryness to kick in. It is something which also can bog us down and slow us down. We need to, as a church, keep moving forward. We, as a church, we need to keep hearing and keep doing. And as the scripture that I read earlier says, we will be blessed. We will be blessed. I was, as I said, I was during worship time. There were so many of the songs that really spoke to me. And I'm going to ask if we could sing one of them. So if you would like to stand to your feet, please. I'll ask if Guy. And is Shirley still here? Could I use your assistance as well, please? I want to read to you just whilst the guys are making their way up. Psalms 40, our main verse that we've been going through. It says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Verse 3 goes on and says, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and will put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Thank you, mighty Lord Jesus. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We thank you, mighty Lord God, for taking each and every single one of us out of that mud, out of that mire, placing us on the rock. Father God, we are no longer rock bottom. We are at the top, on the rock, with a sure foundation beneath our feet. And we give you praise, mighty Lord God. All right, what song to sing? There was two that came up. And if I can get them, I'm going to give you your choice of which one to sing. We can either do... Hold on. In the fullness of your grace. Or, it is your breath that is in my lungs.
Breath is in our lungs? Yeah.
Okay. Can we sing that one together? Thank you, Lord. Can we get those words up? Thank you, Jesus.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore. Every heart that is broken, great are you, Lord. You give life, you give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore. Every heart that is broken, great are you, Lord, you are great are you, Lord, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken, you're great, great are you, Lord, oh so great. We pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pour out our praise to you. We pour out our praise. We know, Heavenly Father, where the breath in our lungs comes from. Our backs, Lord Jesus, are not to you. We are facing straight to you, Lord Jesus. We want to run straight to you, Father God. We know, Heavenly Father, that you have made dry ground. You have removed from before us every obstacle. You tore that veil, mighty Lord Jesus. Father God, if there is anything that is within us that is not of you, we ask, Heavenly Father, that you will remove it right now. Let no sin, no wrong decisions, no actions of others,
Hold us back, mighty Lord Jesus, from running to you. And we know, mighty Lord Jesus, that just like the prodigal son, your arms are open wide, ready to embrace. We praise your name, Lord God. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. As Psalms 40 says, Lord God, you have put a new song in our hearts. And we worship you, O Lord. You're mighty, you're mighty, you're mighty. Give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Thank you, Jesus. So now that our feet are clearly unstuck, what do? We go forward.
Can we get that last picture up, please?
We go forward, we rejoice, we celebrate, we eat good food. Amen. Bless you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.